So today's shiur is going to be, as you guys prepared, on the sugya of achle v'hadar achle, which is about being poda neter vai. Just for some basics, the halachas of neter vai, when it comes to either grapes or it comes to all fruits across the board, there's a halacha that the first 3 years is called arla. It's aser to eat. Arla applies even chutz la'aretz. There are some people, there's actually someone in the neighborhood who's trying to grow a srogim. So esrogim, the first, you're not allowed to use arla. An esrog shall arla, it's aser. So the first 3 years is arla, even chutz la'aretz. Another interesting halacha comes up when it comes to esrogim trees. They don't really last outside of here in New York. So you have to take them in and out. So one time a person tried making an esrog tree, and he tried picking up the roots and putting it in a plant inside the house. So once you uproot a tree, it restarts the count again. If arla starts from 3 years all over again, even though really the tree had a history of 8 years, let's say, if you replant it, it starts all over again. So there's an issur of arla. That's the first 3 years. The fourth year is what's called neter vai. The fourth year, as you guys have been learning, the mitzvah is to take the fruit Yushalayim, to eat it in Yushalayim. That's the mitzvah. If a person not able to do that, then you could take the kedusha of the fruit, and you could be poded onto some money. That fruit now can be eaten anywhere you want outside Yushalayim. The money then is taken to Yushalayim, and you buy food, basar, yain, anything you want, but it has to be food, you buy it and eat it in Yushalayim. Now, the halachas of neter vai, it's a machlokas, as we saw also, whether that only applies to grapes, kerem vai specifically, or neter vai, which applies all netiyos, all types of fruit. Now, there's a similar halacha, similar mitzvah called ma'aser sheni. Ma'aser sheni, years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the Shemitah cycle, 1, 2, 4, and 5. The halacha is that you take ma'aser sheni, instead of ma'aser ani, you take ma'aser sheni. Ma'aser ani, ma'aser sheni switch. So let's go through it. The farmer has fruit. He takes chumo. Chumo is the first thing he gives to the kohen. Chumo is either 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th, depending how much money you want to give. But you take that amount of the fruit, you give it to the kohen. The next thing you do is, from the remaining, let's say you have 100 apples, let's say, for example. So you take two of those apples, and you give it 1/50th, you give the two apples to the kohen. You have 98 remaining, so you take a ma'aser, 1/10 of that, which is 9.8, around another 10, and you give it to a levi, that's called ma'aser rishon. And then there's a third thing you take, which is called ma'aser sheni, or ma'aser ani, depending on the year, they alternate. So 1, 2, 4, and 5 years are ma'aser sheni, years 3 and 6 is ma'aser ani. Ma'aser ani is 1/10 of the remaining, so let's say a 98. You took off 10 to give to ma'aser rishon, so now you have around 88. Now you take another 1/10 of that, that's going to be around 9 now, 8.8. So you give 9 to either the ani, or if it's ma'aser sheni, you take those 9 apples, you bring it to Yushalayim to eat. So neter vai and ma'aser sheni are unique that you bring those fruits to eat in Yushalayim. Now it's very important that connect the relationship, because we're going to learn halachas from one another, as we'll see. Now it's interesting that Tosfos Baba Basra and Sefer Chinuch writes why. They want to know what's the reason why you have to go to Yushalayim to eat ma'aser sheni and to eat neter vai. So he says, because ki mitzion teitei sara, that the Yushalayim is a source of learning. So it's another way just to get people to go to the Yushalayim to learn. And he says, similarly to Alila Regil, we're supposed to go to the Yushalayim 3 times a year. Why? To learn. It's an opportunity to learn, the source of learning. You can learn anywhere you want, as we know here. But the real source of learning, learning from the Sanhedrin, I'm not sure exactly what took place there, but there was a higher level learning that took place in Yushalayim. So that's the reason behind Neter Vai, Ma'aser Sheni, and Alila Regil. So that's some basketball.
You mentioned the place where we learned it. Is it a
right? There's a pasuk that's Ki Mitzion Teitei Sorah. The pasuk says, "We say Va'ibin Tzaron Ki Mitzion, from Tzion, which is Yushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, Yushalayim Ki Mitzion Teitei Sorah." Based on that concept, the Chinuch writes, "That's why we have these mitzvahs to go dafka to Yushalayim." So that's the background. So now let's read the Gemara. The Gemara says, in the beginning here, the first part of the Gemara after the Mishnah, Lamed Hayam and Aleph. Minahani Mili. How do you know? The Mishnah had introduced to us the concept of Birchas Hanenin, saying a bracha prior to eating. And the Gemara wants to know, Minahani Mili. How do we know these words to be true? That you're supposed to say bracha prior to eating. So the Gemara says, Ditan Rabbanam, Kodesh Hilulam Hashem, quotes a pasuk that appears in the context of Neter Vai, the fourth year fruits, that Kodesh Hilulam Hashem, these fruits are Kodesh, and you're supposed to give a Hilul, you're supposed to give a praise to Hashem. So what do we learn from this? So the Gemara says, Melami, to teach us, Shetu'unim bracha lefneim, ulachreim, that you're supposed to say bracha prior to eating, and a bracha afterwards, since it says the word hilulim, multiple, hilulim, two hilals, one hilal before, which is the birchas hanenim, and one hilal afterwards, which is the bracha achrona. And the Gemara says, Mikan amar Rabbi Kiva, from here Rabbi Kiva learns, Aser la'adam shiyitom klum kodem shivarch. It's aser for a person to taste anything prior to eating. So we already noted that this Gemara seems to indicate the two sides of the Birchas Hanenim. On one hand, it talks about the requirement of a Hillel, a Shevach V'Hodah is the nature of the Bracha. But then Rabbi Kiva invokes the concept of Aser Litom, which sounds like Birchas Hanenim is more of a Matir. We noted this when we did the Sugya last time. So you have those two ideas around the Gemara right in the beginning. So then the Gemara says, what do you mean? We have a concept that you can only make one drasha per word. So v'hai kodesh hilulim l'hachi hudasa is the word, the phrase, kodesh hilulim, the double hilulim, is that really coming to teach me a bracha before and a bracha afterwards? Hai mibaylai, it's needed for another drasha. One hilul, chad hilul, is to teach me, d'amar rachmana, the Torah tells me, achle v'hadar achle. To teach me that before eating outside Yerushalayim, you first have to be achle with a ches, to be machalal it, to desecrate it, to redeem it, right, consecrate it, and then achle with a chaf, then you're allowed to eat it. That's one hillel. We'll learn that drasha in a second. And the second hillel teaches me that ein shir el hayayin, which we're going to discuss next week, that it only applies to things that you say shir on. What do you say shir on? Wine, grapes. So grapes is the only fruit that's bound by the halachas of revai. It's called now kerem revai. It's only kerem. It's only grapes are subject to fourth year halachas, nothing else. And that's learned from the second word, halel, when you say shira al hayayin. And now that's going to be a fascinating sugya we're doing next week. We're going to see a couple of brisker ravs, Rebbe Malin, a lot of the lumdis, the number of chakirs we're going to go through next week. This week we're going to focus on the first drasha of the first hill. It tells me, achle with a ches, v'hadar achle, to eat it. First consecrate it, and then eat it. So Rashi says, what's this drasha? Achle v'hadar achle. How do you learn the ability to consecrate it from the word hillel? So Rashi says, hai mi baile. Hilulim lashem chilulim. That hillel, you switch it with a ches, the hein the ches. That's chad minayu. L'arroyo, to teach you, l'achle, with a ches, to consecrate it, v'hadar achle, then eat it. Hotziu l'chulun ayde pidyon, by redeeming the kedusha of the neter vay onto money, now the fruit are chol. In basal echol chutz l'yushlaim, if you decide to eat the fruit outside yushlaim, v'chad, and the other one to teach me another halacha. Fine.
What was that talking about? So, if you decide to eat it outside?
If I decide to eat it in Yerushalayim, so I just take the actual fruit and bring it to Yerushalayim. But if I decide to eat the fruit outside, so I first have to achle into the money, and then I can eat this fruit in my hand. So that drush of hey ches, so the Gideon Ashash of Yekiva Eger points out that this is really Yerushalmi. He quotes Yerushalmi in Peya, which says this drusha, who are not really bothered by switching the hay and the ches. They're both gutturals. They come from the hay and the ches, they have different in the alapes, there are different groups of letters. I forget what they're all called, but some are on the lips and some from the tongue. So these are all gutturals. The hay and the ches come from the throat. So they're similar. An ayin is there also, a ches, a resh, the way the Israelis say the resh is from the throat. So hay and ches can be switched easily. And then he quotes another Yerushalmi in Shabbos that says the drush of Eila Hadvarim, which refers to Lamentes and Blachos. So what's that drush about? So the Gemara in Shabbos in the beginning tells that wants to know, how do you know the 39 Melachos? How do you know the Lamentes and Melachos? So there are two Gemaras in Shabbos. One has a drush, it says Lo Sasem Melacha 39 times. And the other Gemara in the beginning of Shabbos says, it says Eila Hadvarim. Eila in the context of Shabbos. Eila has the Gematria of 36. Hadvarim is, Dvarim is 2. Hadvarim is another one. The hay is another third. So Dvarim is 2. Ha is a 3. So 3 plus the Eila 36 is 39.
How is a 3?
No, it's the hay is not. We're not making a gamache of the hay. It's the. When you say the, it's one thing. This book. So Dvarim is 2. And 2 things. Ha sounds like one thing. Ha is 1. So the Hadvarim plus the 36 of Eila is 39. The Yerushalmi says, I've got a better drasha. Say Eila. Take the word hey, letter rather, hey, and switch it to a ches. They have Aleph Lamed Ches, because you could switch a hey and a ches. And that's the Gematria of 39, and don't get involved in the word hadvar. So we see the Yerushalmi has a drush of hey and ches. So when you look at Rabbi Kiva Eiger, it sounds like Rashi goes according to the Yerushalmi. Because Rabbi Kiva Eiger only quotes Yerushalmis, he doesn't quote any Bavlis. So what comes out is that Rashi somehow is thinking that this drush of Yerushalmi is applicable here as well. And that might be the reason why the Rajba, quoting the Ravid, has a completely different drasha here. Right? The Rajba quotes from the Ravid here, saying, the whole drasha of Shelo Nachlef Es Osios. Don't switch the letters around. V'nasa Hilulim Chilulim. What kind of drasha is that? Ella, the perish of the Gemara here is that Hilul Hazeh Shamar Torah, the Hilul that the Torah is describing here is Hainu Hilul Shel Chilul, meaning Kishimechalin Kedushas al Pidyono. The moment a person takes his Kedusha fruit of Netervai and transfers that Kedusha onto money, that itself is worthy of a praise. That's worthy of Simcha and Halel. That's actually a Hillel. Nothing to do with switching the Hillel and the Chilel, the Hay and the Ches. That Drasha doesn't exist. So it comes out, it is Machlokes. Raj Barashi sounds like, according to Rabbi Kveger, what he's getting at, I think, is that Rashba doesn't hold of such a Drasha. You can't switch the hay and the ches. That's a Yerushalmi. The two Yerushalmis about that. Rashi, for some reason, thinks otherwise.
Did we do the Rabbi Richter? Who's that? Rabbi Akiva Eger Yerushalmi?
You know, you didn't see it inside. I'm explaining what. He just quotes the Yerushalmi. I'm giving you the background.
Because we learned that the Yerushalmi says no. And then we found out another Yerushalmi in Bikurim that said yes. First we said the Yerushalmi said no. Didn't we?
I'm not sure, but either way, it's fine. So,
Rashi's going by a Yerushalmi.
That's what it sounds like. That's what if you read the Rabbi Akiva Eger alone and you saw the Rashba and the Rashi, you would think that Rashi's going like the Yerushalmi. And Rashba says the Babli doesn't hold of such a drasha, so we have to think of something else, that there's some level of simcha when it comes to being mechalel fruit onto the coins. Yes.
Not just in the fourth hill, but at any time you have the hill, the praise, you're going to have to do the other.
Now, whenever there's a consecration, whenever there's a chilul, that warrants a hill. That makes you have to make a simcha. We'll explain. We'll look at the Chazon Ish in a second. What is the simcha? What do we take a simcha when you're removing the kedusha from this fruit? It sounds like it's a downgrade.
Yeah.
Right, well, so no, I'm just saying that in the chet, if they interchange it. When one is done, when you're praising something, it has to automatically, I'm trying to wrap my head around, the other will always happen. Meaning you're going to have to take, you're going to praise this, and it has to be aligned with.
No, it's the other way around. It's the desecrating, yep. That will cause a simcha. That's what requires me to make a simcha. It's not that whenever there's a simcha, there has to be, because I have other cases of a simcha, a chasen is a simcha, but there's no desecration there, it's only kedusha there. So he's saying, even when the situation of consecrating something, transferring the kedusha, that requires a simcha. So we have to look at the Chazon Ish. What exactly is a simcha when it seems to be downgrading something? Right. Okay. Now, the Rashba, who is in one of the Talmidim of the Ramban, so the Ramban himself says the same idea, similar idea on Al Torah. Ramban writes, "V'lo chalalo." So he says, "Shelo ba hashana harvis." The fourth year hadn't come yet. So since the fourth year hadn't come, it was still in the third year, the first 3 years of the fruit. So you didn't have the opportunity of being mechalal it. So Ramban says, what's pshat in this pasuk? Ki ha-minag bekerem bevo, the minag was, bekerem, with regards to a vineyard, bevo tuaso, when the grapes would grow, she yachulu sham, they would sing and dance, ve'yelchu bo bechalilim, with flutes, they'd play a whole orchestra there. V'tziv ha-kasev, the pasuk tells us, sheyehei kol pirio kodesh hilulim, all the fruits of, now coming into Neter Vai, into the fourth year, all of them should be kodesh, and it should be accompanied by some type of a hilul. Sheyehalalu es ha-shem ha-nichbad b'simcha ha-hi, to be mahalalet, to have this praise. So the Ramban, by the way, is not necessarily talking about hilul, of consecrating. He's talking about when you have Neter Vai, whether you bring it to Yerushalayim, whether you're not, simply going through the vineyard and seeing the fourth year fruits, that itself warranted some level of simcha, some level of hillel. He's not necessarily talking about when you're being mechalel, he's just talking about, it's unclear at what moment. It seems to me when you walk through the vineyards and you start to see the fourth year fruits, you have this appreciation of the kedusha that grew into your land, so therefore everyone breaks out in song and dancing. The Rashba takes it to a next level that even when you're mechalel, when you begin to transfer the kedusha from the fruit onto coins, that also warrants a level of hillel, a level of simcha. So why? So before you even get to the Chazon Ish, the Pnei Yeshua adds a little bit more here about the simcha and the hill that takes place here. The Pnei Yeshua quotes from the Rashba. And he says the Rashba is very against the switching of the letters here, which again we think right now is a Yushalmi. So Linnaeus Daiti, says the Pnei Yeshua, it seems to me, near Lahosif Advar, I want to be Mosif words, I want to add on to the understanding of the Rashba, that the Mavan Mitzvah Sachilil, aside from the Mitzvah of Chilil, which itself warrants simcha, according to the Rashba, when you are consecrating the Kedusha, that warrants some level of hillel. He says, Shayech be'od hillel shel birchas mitzvah. There's another hillel that's going on here. The birchas mitzvah that the Rambam brings down, you're supposed to say a bracha when you're mechal the fruit onto coins. That also warrants a level of hillel, a level of simcha. So we see now this whole event, he actually brings you Yushalmi in support of this. And the Yushalmi says the same idea, a similar idea that birchas mitzvah is some level of simcha.
Making the actual bracha.
Making, exactly. Making the actual bracha is a simcha. So you end up fitting this into the Gemara, how this works, a very nice flow. I don't want to get into the right now. But we see that when you're mechalal something, when you're mechalal the Kedusha from Neter Vai onto coins, that warrants a celebration, a hillel, a simcha of some sort. And nothing to do with the Hei Neches, nothing at all to do with it. Simply that's a hillel. And the pasuk is meant to be taken literally. Okay. So the Chazon Ish explains a little bit here. The Chazon Ish is very, very hard to understand. No one reads the Chazon Ish straight. He's very, very challenging because the way his mind worked. He would jump in one sentence to another concept along the way. You have to really learn him very well. So thank God we have good Svarim to point us to which Chazon Ish to look at, the important lines. So I was pointed, I don't remember how, but somehow someone pointed me to this Chazon Ish, and that tells us the idea behind the Simcha and the Hillel when it comes to the Kedusha of Neter Vai. And he explains is that the tehillah that were taking place here, that the praise and the davening and the simcha that takes place when you're consecrating the Neter Vai, is Hainu Shehein Kedushin V'tzrichin La'achlim B'Kedusha B'Shalayim O'L'Chalalim. It's simply stating, before I'm about to be mechalal this, I'm indicating the fact that this has inherent Kedusha to it, this fruit. It requires either me taking it to Shalayim or requires me to be mechalal it. Now, it's not the chilah, it's not the downgrade that I'm really celebrating. It's really a recognition that there's kedusha. The fact that I need to mechal and eat it, that indicates, it's a simon, that there's some kedusha. So I'm praising the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me this opportunity for kedusha in my land, in my fruit, in my vineyard. And it's similar, therefore, to the Ramban, that when they walk through the vineyards and they see all the kedusha of the fruits, they'd sing and dance. That's the idea here.
Rob told me in Israel he went to visit, the little children are taking the fruits into the house and going, kedusha, kedusha.
Yeah, there you go, it's beautiful. So that's in essence, that sounds like what the Chazon Ish is trying to get at. You're just stating the fact that you have this opportunity of having Kedusha grow in your land. Okay. So now that being the case...
That was a takeaway from the whole complicated...
Chazon Ish. Yes, that was a takeaway. Something you have to learn how to pull away the important lines and then sift through. The Rebbe always tells me you have to learn how to skim things sometimes. it saves you a lot of time. It's a skill over time you learn. Okay, so right now what sounds like the machlokas between Rashi and the Rajba about the drush of Hillel and Chilel is Rashi holds of Hillel Chilel, like the Yushalmi, and the Rajba doesn't, so therefore the Rajba had to kind of find this other drush to make that really there's a Hillel involved, it's based on this Ramban, that's how he thought Pshat was in this Gemara. But if you look at the Maritzchias in the back, he quotes a Bavli in the beginning of Moikaton, which makes such a drasha. The pasuk they're referring, the Mishnah they're referring to Beis HaShlachin. It's a certain type of field that existed on the mountaintops. And the Gemara brings a drasha from, I don't have it in front of me now, but from the Lashon of Shalhin to Shalachin. It switches the Hei and the Ches.
A thirsty field or a lacking field.
Exactly.
This kind of thing.
Exactly. So the drush is based on a word that says Hey, and it's going to teach us about something that says Ches, from Shalachin to Shalachin. So we see the Bavli makes such a drasha. Maybe that's an isolated Gemara.
That's the second Bavli that's making it.
That's the first Bavli we saw.
Oh, Bavli's against originally with Rashi? And this is the second Bavli Bavli, not
Yeah,
Yushalmi.
Not Yushalmi.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. So the Bavli says such a Joshua. So maybe you're going to say that's an isolated case. But then you have the Gilyoni Ashas. Now, Gilyoni Ashas of Yosef Engel. He says our Gemara is a source.
So why can't you say that?
Oh, because the Gemara itself doesn't explicitly
say
Hei Ches. As opposed to the Moikaton, which is very explicit about the Hein Ches. We have the Gilyoni Ashas. Gilyoni Ashas lived in the end of the 19th century into the 20th century. He died in 1920. Yosef Engel was a tremendous, tremendous gaon, atzim. When he was 12, apparently, his rabbi said, I'm done, I can't teach you anymore. You're on your own. And from the age 12 to 19, he wrote 7 svarim, many of which are big, big svarim. The Lekach Tov and Asvan Zerais, a very, very important svarim. And after he wrote many, many more. Whenever Schechter quotes Rav Yosef Engel, he always cries because we lost a lot of his svarim he wrote, we lost throughout the wars. So we have some of his svarim. We have, in the back here, there's a set of 5 of them. Within each shefer, there's a few different kuntrasim, but he has beautiful stuff. He happened to be a great balance of lamdis and chasidis. Many times in his long shtickel, he would talk about at the end how it relates somehow to Kabbalah as well. So beautiful stuff. So Rav Yosef, there's one story I'll share with you about him, about his Chachma, that one time there was a fight between two women on a laundromat, and they were arguing about whose laundry it was, whose clothing it was. And then each one said it was theirs, and they brought the case to Rav Yosef Engel. And they said, and Rav Yosef Engel was trying to read the women and read the cases, and he said, you know what, let me think about it. Leave the clothing here overnight, and let me think about it overnight. I'll sleep on it. So they go home, And then Rav Yosef Engel says to his wife, do you mind just placing some of our clothing into this pile? The next morning, the women come back. And he asks one of the women, could you please just go through to make sure everything here is really yours? So she goes through, looking at it carefully. Yep, it's all mine. So he clearly knew that which one was lying, and the one who said it was all mine was the one who was out. So based on that, he passed, and it was the other woman's clothing. So it's like a kind of like a Shlomo HaMelech story with a baby. Yes. Right, so Rav Yosef Engel, so in his encyclopedic mind that he has, so Rabbi Kiviger quoted two Yishalmis, the Maharaj Chiyas quoted one Bavli, and the Rav Yosef Engel goes on to a whole long rant here of quoting, looks like, I don't know, it's a huge piece of just quoting sources. It must be 25 different sources, and he says afterwards, and there's Kama Makomos Rabos after that, there's many, many more places where the Bavli itself makes such a drasha, and he's therefore bothered. He asks in the middle of this piece, how come does the Rajba reject such a concept of hey and ches, meaning Rashi said the drushes, achle, the lashon hillel and chillel because you switched the hey and the ches. The Rashba rejects such a concept, such a drusha. So how do you reject the drusha? The Gemara in Moed Katan, the Gemara here and there, and 15, 20, 25 places he quotes that the Bavli itself makes a drush of hey and ches. And it leaves that at Sarachin. The only thing I can think of is that the Rashba agrees that such a drusha exists, but you don't have to make that drusha. You could have just read the Pasha Pshat of Hillel. You only use a drasha if you need to make the drasha.
Yeah.
But here, the Pasha Pshat Hillel means to praise and to sing a song and to have simcha. So Rashba was comfortable making that drasha. It was Rashi who wasn't comfortable. Rashi doesn't think that when you consecrate fruit, he doesn't think that's a simcha. What's a simcha in downgrading fruit? So Rashi was the one who had to find and make up the drasha of the, not make it up, but use the drasha of Hein Ches that was out there. It's an available drasha. But Rashi was stuck because what it ends up being, I think, it's not a machlokas whether you make a drasha about Hein Ches. That everybody degrees that drasha exists. The machlokas is when you're mechalel neter vay onto kesef, is that going to be a hillel or will not be hillel? It's a downgrade and therefore you have to find another drasha.
I was just thinking, when you make that switch, the reason you probably treat it as is law simply is down the road you may forget where that money came from. So the greatest moment of transition is that first moment. After that moment occurred, like if you take one kalim and another, you may be four kalims down the road, and it's now not worth something. But that first time, it's still worth something, you're going to forget. And that moment, you're taking something at a high kedusha, and yes, you're downgrading it, but it's still a great moment to remember the Baruch Shalom did this. You may forget.
Right, so you think the idea is it's supposed to be a mechanism to remember that there was once kedusha?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about that. I don't know if it's a mechanism. I don't think we have like concept where there's mechanisms to remember things. I don't think we have a mitzvah like that. We have concepts like Gemara and Erevin talks about how to remember things, but we don't have a mitzvah to do something, so it should be a big impact so you remember it. That's not why we make a whole big event like that. But I would say...
That's what you told me yesterday.
And now it's losing it. Now, from the second point, when you transfer that money, you're not going to have this...
No, you're right. And so the Ramban says... Right, no, so I would say, if you just stop there, meaning the Ramban says that itself, you're reflecting the fact that you have Kedusha fruits.
Right.
Not because you're going to forget about it later on, because you're just stating the fact that Hashem gave you Kedusha fruits.
Right.
That's the mitzvah, not to help you remember, though.
Right, but you...
You will remember. But, you will remember, but that's not the goal.
No.
Right.
The goal is you're not going to praise it later on.
No, the goal is to praise Hashem now.
Right now.
You're saying now is because there's no other time to do it.
Exactly.
Not because you're going to forget or this is the only time to do it.
Right.
You told me, the rabbi told me a whole thing on remembering yesterday, and that's why we do it. Because otherwise, if we didn't consecrate it, we might make a mistake and eat that food.
No, that's a different point about now, Bizman Hazeh. Bizman Hazeh, if you leave the fruit over, unconsecrated, still in the status of Kedusha, then you might end up eating it, and that's going to be a big problem outside of Yerushalayim. That's a different point, though.
Okay.
So now let's go. So that's the first idea, the machlokas, whether or not there is a hillel, a simcha, when being poda, the ma'aser sheni, onto money.
Why do you want to say that the machlokas is what the makor of the hillel is?
Say it again, that...
The Rashba says that the source that you have to be mechalel is from Devarim.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, this Hillel is talking about just down the Mahalo part. You don't need to change it. You're saying that the Machlokes is what is happening when you Mahalo.
Right.
But why do you say the Machlokes between Rashi and the Rashba is what is the source? I mean, the Rashba doesn't have to say that this Hillel is Hillel because you already know you're Mechalel in the Vav.
It's very good.
And Rashi's saying over here that this is Iker source. You have to find the Hillel within this pasuk.
Right, so I guess the conclusion would be the same that they're arguing about Simcha, but the question, what's the first question? So Rabbi Richman's suggesting, really the first question is, what's the source? The Rashba goes on to say that the word Kodesh Hilul Hashem is telling me about how to celebrate the Pidyon, but how do I know you're allowed to, or you're supposed to do a Pidyon? That's from another Pasuk. So maybe they're arguing, what's the source of Pidyon? Is the Pidyon from the other Pasuk that the Rashba quotes? Or is it from this pasuk Kodesh Hilul Hashem? That's really the machlokas. The result of that machlokas will be, what do you do with the other pasuk? So the Rashi says, the other pasuk that Rashi uses of Kodesh Hilul, now is available. What are you going to do with that pasuk? You don't need it as a source of Pidyon. That's from the other pasuk. So therefore he's forced into a corner. It must be that there's a Hillel involved that forces him to learn that way. So that might be, so in the end, there's no real nafkamina lemaisa, but in terms of the direction of the questioning, you're right. That could be another approach. I agree.
Didn't we go in depth into these psukim, which we're not really mentioning
that's
here? Were they in the Mara Makoma? So we just
that's
did
what he's saying.
Okay. So now let's learn a little bit different topic, but still on the topic of Netter Avai. Let's look at two Tosusim now. Tosus writes, Achle v'hadar Achle. Tosus asks Tema, Lamalikra, why do you need a pasuk to teach me now that you're supposed to do a chilul? Now this question, by the way, only makes sense according to Rashi. I mean, because Rashi learned that this is the source of chilul. According to the Rashba, this is not a source of chilul at all. This is a source of being mahalal things, of a simcha. But Tosus asks, why do you need a pasuk to tell me that you're supposed to be poda netervai? The perek based the kedushin gamrin, and we learn the gemara kedushin. Kodesh, Kodesh, Mimaiser, Sheni. There's a Gezer Shava. Now, it's very important. Someone asked me this question. I'll mention it here. But let me finish the line here. Imkein, Nilef, Mimaiser, Sheni. If you have Kodesh, Kodesh, that it says Kodesh by Neter Vai, this is Kodesh by Maiser, Sheni. Now, we pointed out in the beginning that those two halachas are very similar, that they're both being brought to Yerushalayim. So once you have the connection of Maiser, Sheni to Neter Vai, and we know that Maiser, Sheni explicitly, the Pasuk says, you're allowed to be poda, the Maiser, Sheni, to eat outside Yerushalayim, so too, through this channel of Gezer Shava, the Neter Vai should be able to be redeemed and eaten outside. And you don't need to make a Pasuk, a drush of Hillel and Chillel. So Tosus answers, V'yeshlomar ilav kra, had we not had the Pasuk of Hilulim, hava mina de'adraba, opposite. Nilef l'chumra, maybe you should learn the Gezer Shav l'chumra, Kodesh Kodesh mishviyas v'ein lo pidyon. It says Kodesh also by Shemitah. And we have the Gezer Shav of Neter Vai Kodesh to Shviyas Kodesh, the connection. There is no pidyon by Shemitah. Shemitah is Kodesh forever. You cannot be poded. That's why when we have a Esok Shel Shemitah, you can't redeem it onto something else. You have to let it sit in a rot until it becomes spoiled. You can't be poded. So too, so why not learn Neter Vai from Shemitah, that there is no pidyon to Neter Vai? So again, let's just build a model. The model is Maaser Sheni is the given that you can be poda. Shvius is a given you cannot be poda. Those are givens. Now you have unclear the ambiguity of Neter Vai. How do you categorize that? It says Kodesh by Neter Vai. So there's Kodesh to Maaser Sheni. Maybe you should connect those two and therefore there should be pidyon. But also says Kodesh to Shvius. Maybe you should connect those two and there should be no pidyon. So had you not had Hilulim, you would have thought maybe you should draw the connection to Shvius and no pidyon. Comes along Hilulim Kodesh, Hilulim Hashem, to tell me that there is, in fact, a Hilul, there is a Hilul when it comes to Neter Vai. Now, someone asked me before, wait a second, Kodesh, Kodesh is a Gzer Shava, and the Halach is, Ein Adam Dan Gzer Shava Miatzmo, I can't make my own Gzer Shava, exactly. I have a Masora, whatever my Rebbe told me, Rashi says all over the place, it's right. A Gemara. Right. I could be done my own Kavachomer, the Gemara says, yeah. I can make my own Kavachomers. Now, on this point, actually, this is interesting. Rav Yosef Engel actually has a different shtickle. He talks about the concept of Ein Onshin Min Hadin. That you're not allowed to apply a Kavachomer, an Onesh, through a Kavachomer. Meaning, if it says Onesh by one case, you can't say, well, if that person gets punished, certainly in this more Chomer case, Ein Onshin Min Hadin. You cannot apply a Kavachomer through an Onesh through a Kavachomer. And there are a few Svaras brought down. But what Rav Yosef Engel, after bringing down the three Svaras, he says, you know what's about the difference between a Gzer Shava and a Kavachomer? Gzer Shav is midin midas gvura, and kavachomer is midas chesed. He throws in some of the spheres there. So since kavachomer is a din chesed, and it's more expansive, everyone's allowed to do it. But since the halachas of the sphere, the way you understand sphere of a gvura, midas din, is more limited, so therefore gzer shav is a din, and no one's allowed to do it, only a mesorah. We can't expand beyond that. So that's a little bit of the panemius behind gzer shav versus kavachomer. So now the concept of Gezer Shava only comes as a Mesorah. How is the Tosus asking, don't do the Kodesh Kodesh Gezer Shava to Maaser Sheni, learn it to Shvius. Well, that wasn't a Mesorah. So I told him that the Ramban in the beginning of Sefer Mitzvos of the Rambam, The Rambam has his shrushim. He has his he lists the rules of how we count the 613 mitzvahs. Because it's very hard to count them. How, is that a mitzvah? Is this a mitzvah? Do you count mitzvahs d'rabbanan? The Baha'i counts Chanukah as a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Rambam says not. Mm-hmm. So in that whole discussion, he talks about drushas. Anything that's a drusha, the Yud Gimel Midos Shebetorosh and the drushas behem, the 13 midos that you reshmal, we say in the end of davening, rather end of karbanos, gzer shavan, kavachomer, klal prat. Those things, says the Rambam, are all dinei deraisa. If it's a drusha, it's a din deraisa. Ramban says, I believe that there are three types of gzer shavas. Some types of gzer shavas, we have a mesorah. There's always a mesorah involved, but we don't have the full picture. Sometimes the rabbanim pass on a mesorah that these two words, kodesh, kodesh, or this one word, is a gzer shava. Now, which areas does it apply to? What halachas are being learned? That's for the chachamim to decide. But this is a key word. This is a kodesh, kodesh, gzer shava. Figure it out. Sometimes you have a gzer shava that you're told, let's say, for example, I'm just making this up, that Maisa Sheni and Shvius is a gzer shava. What words are being used and what halacha, that's up to you. So gzer shava, it's not that every single detail is being told. There's some element that's being passed on as the mesorah, and there's some wiggle room. So that's the idea. So even though Tosus is saying you learn the gzer shava to Shvius, it's still a mesorah, because Kodesh Kodesh was a mesorah. Where to apply it to, or where to learn from, that was part of the debate. What comes out from Tosus, though, is, he says in this first answer, the reason why you need Kodesh Hilulim, don't you have Kodesh Kodesh already? Because Kodesh Hilulim tells me that you would have learned otherwise from Kodesh Kodesh. It sounds to me from Tosos that both Psukim are necessary. You need both Kodesh Kodesh from Neter Vai Maisa Sheni, but you also need the Pasuk Kodesh Hilulim Hashem to limit it, to put the direction, which direction is going in. You would have thought to put the direction into Shvius. We say, no, the direction should go to Maisa Sheni. So both Psukim are relevant, it seems to me, from the end of this Tosos, the first answer. Now, even the second answer of Tosfos, and you see why this is important.
Second answer is where they compare Shvius to
No, we call it, compares to Maisa Sheni, meaning really the second answer of Tosfos, let's read this inside, he says, Od Perish Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen, we feed, he's one of the Bali Tosfos, we see him quoted a few places, a very famous one in the end of Ksubas about living there in Eretz Yisrael, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. He says, Imei Hasam, had we had that pasuk only of Kodesh Kodesh learning, Neter Vai from Maisa Sheni, then I would have said, Hava Mina, I would have thought, Ki Maisa Sheni Mamish. It's Mamish like Maisa Sheni. Remember, we spoke in the beginning, the correlation between the two. It's Mamish like Maisa Sheni. And would you would have went so far to say, Vedavka Bizman Shem Maisa Sheni. No, again, no, so maybe the halachas of Neter Vai only apply the years of Maisa Sheni. Kimo Bishana Rishona Vishni Revis Vichamishas. Years 1, 2, 4, and 5. Just like Maisa Sheni, so to Neter Vai should only apply in those years, 1, 2, 4, and 5. Of Shmita, Noik Chilo. Abalash Shlishish Vishishish, the third and sixth, which is only Maiser Ani, Emalom, maybe there is no Netervai, Kamash Malon Chilulim. So here too also, it sounds like you need both Pesukim, you need Kodesh Kodesh connect to Maiser Sheni. You would have limited when to do it. Comes Chilulim, says, no, we do it anytime there is a Netervai, you always do it regardless of what year in Shemitah you're in. But it sounds like from the end of the day, both Limudim are relevant, are necessary. Both Kodesh from Maiser Sheni and the Kodesh Chilulim, which is a Pasuk in Netervai itself. Now, there's a lot more to say about this Tosos, about the Havaminas and the Kashas and the answers, but right now what we want, I think, is that there are two sources, Kodesh Kodesh from Maisa Sheni and Kodesh Hilulim by Neter Vai, which both, as a combination, tell me that Neter Vai can be redeemed and consecrated outside Yerushalayim. Okay, that's point one. Point two in Tosos now. Tosos in Laman, if you go to the Tosos, the fourth one down, Laman, Tani, Karim, Revai. So Tosos gives us Halach L'maisa. Ata, nowadays, Bizman Hazeh, where there's no Beis HaMikdash, Kaimalan, we hold, the Revai Noeg Af B'Chutzlartz. The halacha of Neter Vai applies even in Chutzlartz, even in America, the fourth year, fruits have Kedusha. Miu B'Kerem Noeg, only with regards to grapes, not with regards to other fruits. Velo B'Shar Ilanos, not other trees. The Chola Mekel Bara Talacha Kamosa, we're going to see B'Chutzlartz. It's a klal, the Gemara itself invokes later on in Maseches Brachos, in this parak, that when there's a machlokas, a Machmir Shita and a Mekel Shita. So we always take the Mekel Shita in Chutzlartz, wherever he is. The Gemara is going to talk about that, and it's a very Lamdish Sugi as well. We have this concept, by the way, when we follow the Kula Shitas in two other areas that I'm familiar with, when we always go for the Kula Shita. Anybody know where else? We always go for the Mekel opinion?
Brachos.
Brachos, right, but in terms of, I guess it's a good point. Sorry, Brachos Lahakel, very good. I didn't think about that one, but you're right. That's anywhere else? Anybody know where we always go for the Mekel opinion? Hilchas Eirvin. The halacha is, the Gemara says, in Hilchas Eirvin, we always go after the Mekel opinion. And also, by Avelis, the Gemara says we always follow the Meikopinim with regards to Avelus. So those are now four lachas, Avelus, Erevin, Brachos, and now Kol Meikop Arts, what's the line again? That Kol Ha... Right, Kol Meikop Arts, Halacha Mos Bechotar. So those are four areas that we have that we pass in like the Meikopinim.
And if you look at the spheres, it's the merciful one, right?
Very good.
So you're saying that if you had somebody growing fruits and vegetables on their fourth year, even in Hutzlars or whatever, they would be responsible for this whole...
Or just grapes.
According to Tosfos, and only grapes.
Only grapes.
And I'm not sure halacha might say how we paskin that. I don't know. This is what Tosfos' opinion. It could be others argue. I don't know.
Now, so that means a Jew or a non-Jew...
Only Jew.
Only Jew.
Only Jew, yeah.
Now, what happens in Shemitah if they sell the land...
There's no Shemitah in Hutzlars.
There's no
Shemitah. I don't get it. It's according to this
Tosis,
Arla
includes
Laritz is only grapes.
No, Arla applies everywhere. Netar Vai only applies to grapes. So you're going to have an Esek Chiv where the first 2 years is Asati, but the fourth year is actually Mutter. So you see there's a disconnect between the fourth year and 3 years. We normally assume that they come together, they're hand in hand. Tosis is telling us that there's two Dinim, there's two separate mitzvahs. You can have a concept of 3 year Arla and 4th year is completely Mutter. Right. So I'm not sure the halacha maaseh how we paskin. So don't start planting things and start taking your 4th year to Yerushalayim yet until you ask. But this is what Tosos says. Now what's important is the end of Tosos here. The Kerem Revai Bizman Hazeh, he says, nowadays what do you do with the kid? Let's say you grow grapes and it's the 4th year. What do you do with it? Mechalin al shava pruta. You could be mechalin onto a shava pruta, some type of money, whatever the value is. It doesn't have to be kesef. It could be anything of value. The shochav and matil and nahar, and you grind it up and you throw it into the river.
This is a Ramban.
We'll get to that exactly. It's a Ramban most. Very good. V'chei mefurish b'shiltos the Rav Chaya. Shiltos Rav Chaya is one of the gonim. He says the same thing, that you can be mechal onto a shava pruta in chutz la'aretz bizman hazeh.
What was the reason to throw it into the river? I never understood that.
Because you can't eat it. It's holy.
It's kodesh and you have to get rid of it so no one uses it. No one misuses it.
Is this an expression, throw it in the river? Or is it taka?
Why
has to be a river.
Just dig a hole and just bury it wherever you, somewhere.
Yeah. Right. So it's a very good question. So there's a Gemara in Bukhara that talks about throwing it to Yam HaMelech and the Gemara of Avodah Zarah as well, throwing it to the salt water, into the Dead Sea. And some say, dafka the Yam HaMelech, because it's so salty, it's really going to ruin it. It's going to be nothing. It's going to really ruin the coins, and no one's ever going to get to use it. It will be so rusty from the salt that it will really be unusable. Others say, no, that's just an example, but throwing it to any river, any water will, once you throw it in the bottom of the ocean, no one's getting to it anyways. We're not talking about putting it, throwing a penny into one of those little fountains. We're talking about deep down in the water where no one's going to access it. So that's the idea. It's a far place. People go digging in the sand with the usual metal detectors. Who knows if they're going to find it if it's buried? If it's in the water, you have treasure hunters, but no one's going to really find one isolated coin.
That money would make more sense instead of really nobody finding it, and say, I give it to Sadaka. I'm not using it anymore.
You can't use it. No, Kodesh cannot be used for Tzedakah. No one's allowed to use it.
So that's the point. No one's allowed to use
correct.
It.
Correct.
Is it literal or could you shred it?
Literal.
Yeah. No, I'm saying it has to be a river or could you shred it? You know they got these machines that destroy the coins.
Right.
You know, that's for fun or whatever. Mm-hmm. Does it mean you got to tuck it, throw in the river or does it mean you got to make it unusable, unfindable?
I'm not sure.
What about my comments? One of the sheets.
Right. Right. Same idea. Matiliyam. And that's certainly the bread's going to disintegrate and become nothing.
You burn it, you throw it in a hot furnace, like the chametz or something. If taka, you work in the iron business, you got to throw it in the furnace.
Right. I'm not sure.
You get enjoyment from the heat, maybe.
Right.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. So, anyways, what Tosfos asks, Tosfos says the point that you could be Michal and Shava Pruta. And then, if you look at Rabbi Akiva Eiger there, Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks the question. He says on the bottom here, he quotes the Rabbeinu Yonah as well, who says this, B'Shulchan Aruch, V'timuli, this is a big wonderment to me, came in the Alfinan Chilal Chilal Mimaiser, the Bay Chilal Adavar She'alav Tzura. Since you learn Chilal Chilal from Maiser, which by the way, it could also be Kodesh Kodesh, but we learn the Gzer Shava from Maiser Sheni, like Tosus assumed above. Remember above, Tosus says, how do you know you could be Poda Neter Vai? Because you learn from Maiser Sheni and from Kodesh Hilulim, the combination. So working within that assumption, that both psukim are relevant, that there's a connection between Ma'aser Sheni and Neter Vai, asks Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you have to be pulled onto a coin that has a tzura, a coin that's actually used in part of the currency. When Tosfos says Shava Pruta, that implies not necessarily a coin that's used, any amount, any value. Anything that has value to it, not necessarily a coin. So Rabbi Akiva Iger asks, how could Tosfos come along and say this? How could he say again that...
it's not chashev enough?
Exactly. It's based on the pasuk. The pasuk says v'tzarta kesef. When it comes to ma'aser sheni, v'tzarta is lush enough to really put in a bag, but make a drush of a tzura. It should have a tzura. It should have an image, like a penny, or something that's used. That's currency in the city, in the government, in the country that you live in. But when you say mechala sheva pruta, it doesn't necessarily mean it has to refer to a coin that's actually used.
Is this only chutz la'aretz?
Tosfos says only in Chutz La'aretz you're allowed to do in Sheva Pruta. The implication is in Eretz Yisrael, maybe you would have to say. So he agrees in Eretz Yisrael, it sounds like you would have to use a matbea with a tzura, but only in Chutz La'aretz. But Rabbi Akiva says, why is that true? Netzer Vayin Chutz La'aretz is also going to be learned from Ma'aser Sheni. It should have the same halachas of using the coin that's actively used in the country. That's the kasha, that's the tzarech in of Rabbi Akiva.
And then the Rambam says you could even do it on the grain.
Right, so very good. So the Rambam says, he says the same idea, and the Ravid basically asks the same question. The Rambam says you could be mechala on Tisha Pruta or another peros, so you don't need a coin at all. And the Ravid asks the same question as Rabbi Akiva Iger asks on Tosfos. The Ravid says, Tosfos, how do you get, rather Rambam, how do you get off with saying this? Is that tema? Dehal yalfinan kodesh kodesh mi maish yaseini. Malahalan kesef, afkan kesef. Just like we have kesef as a necessity when it comes to maish yaseini, so do you need kesef when it comes to netir vai? So a few answers are given on the page here, the Nosei Kalim, as we call them. So the Kesef Mishnah says that, actually the first Lecha Mishnah says that the Rambam holds in general, he actually even holds by Ma'aser Sheni, you don't need a Tzura. You could even do Ma'aser Sheni, but that's a different halacha. Exactly, Ma'aser Sheni itself can be Mechal and even a Shavruta onto Peros.
Uh-huh.
So once that's the source, so then it makes sense why Netirvai, it's equated across the board.
Uh-huh.
It's a Chiddush in Ma'aser Sheni. The Kesef Mishnah says, and this is why we'll get to the Nativ in just a moment, the Kesef Mishnah, let me find this for a second here, that the Rambam is only talking about Bizman HaBayis Dafka, do you have to have Kesef?
Yeah.
But Bizman HaZeh, the Rambam is talking about Bizman HaZeh, you don't need Kesef. Bizman HaZeh, there's a heter that you don't have that Kodesh Kodesh from Ma'aser Sheni. Meaning the Gezeirah Shavah, let's go backtrack for a second. It becomes a lot more clear from the Nativ, but I'll have a little bit of background. We have two psukim of how do you know Poda Pidyon Neter Vai. We have a Kodesh Kodesh from Ma'aser Sheni, and we have Kodesh Hilulim from Neter Vai itself. So in essence, what the Kesef Mishnah is saying, when we have the connection of Kodesh Kodesh from Ma'aser Sheni, that's only Bizman HaBayis.
Yeah.
And Bizman HaBayis, you would taka have to use Kesef like Ma'aser Sheni.
Yeah.
When there is no Beis HaMikdash, so then Alachas Ma'aser Sheni don't apply anymore, so we throw out the Pasuk Kodesh Kodesh. Now we're left with the other pasuk of Tosos, Kodesh Hilulim Hashem, that's only talking about Neter Vai, and now within the world of Neter Vai, of Kodesh Hilulim, there is no source of having to have a Kesef only. And that's why the Rambam says, Bizman HaZeh, Dafka, Bizman HaZeh,
yeah.
You could pull it onto anything else you want. And that answers the Ravid's kasha.
What did you do with that stuff that was called Kodesh, so that you are redeeming? You gave it to a
resident? Whatever you want. No, this fruit that was Kodesh,
right.
Now that's been redeemed onto money, that fruit, you could be eaten. You could be eaten wherever you want.
So this is one of those previously two cases, Kodesh. Something Kodesh becomes non-Kodesh?
No, you have a number of examples where you could take something Kodesh and you could redeem it. You have an animal.
No, you redeemed it, and now after it's redeemed with the money, the Kedusha of that thing is gone.
Yeah, no, that's a concept that exists in a number of places.
I guess it's
number of places we have that.
Right?
Yeah,
it's
transferred over.
It's
right. But this animal, this fruit rather, is completely chol. It's completely consecrated, and you can eat it.
Interesting.
We have that concept in a few places. If I have, let's say, I makdish this table for Hekdesh for the Beis HaMikdash. Now, they can't use this table, but this is Kodesh. What I have to do is I've got to redeem the value onto money and give the money to Beis HaMikdash, and this table is now mutter to be used.
Like when they were out and they had a few places before they had the true Beis HaMikdash, things that were there, those places where there was...
Kedusha, right?
When they left, it was gone.
So like you said, exactly, that's the point. You can have something that's Kodesh,
right.
And you could remove that Kedusha.
So granted that this modest said we don't need to use something with the Tzura, how are we allowed to be Kodesh something with a Shavah Pruta when it's not the same value?
Right, so this the Gemara says in a few places. I don't remember exactly the source, but you're allowed to. I don't remember why
only
this is.
Only later, not then.
No, whenever kedusha is allowed.
Only later in time, only when there's no Beis Hamikdash.
No,
can't do it with the lesser. In this case,
but when it comes to hektesh bizman hamikdash, you are allowed to be mechal hektesh onto a shavu pruta, even though the values are disproportional. Really? You're allowed to. I'm not remembering what the source is, but the Gemara says this in a number of places that you can. How it works? There's a pasuk that supports this. I have to look it up. You can, even though it doesn't make sense, but it's based on Pesukah. I'll look it up.
If the Iker is to get you there, then you can do it.
Right. If you go back to the real reason why we started off, it could be interesting. So let's finish off with this Netziv now. The Netziv, where's my Netziv? Here, actually, I didn't get it out here. I'm going to get the Netziv here. So Netziv asks this question. It says, Achle v'hadar achle. They're supposed to consecrate it, and then you eat it. So he asks, okay, let's say I want to get hana, but I don't want to eat it. Does that imply that I'm allowed to get hana from this item? Right? It says the only way that for me to eat it is if I'm first consecrating it. The implication is, but I could get hana from it even without consecrating it. So I add this netir vai fruit, the fourth year fruit, which is kodesh, and I could just get hana. I mean, I could sell it. I could, whatever hana you could think of would be permitted. But he says that's certainly not true.
Are you saying you're implying that it's not, you can't eat it, but you might be able to sell it?
Exactly.
How do we know that you can't sell it?
So he says it's pasha that you're not allowed to sell that. He says clearly not. So he says as follows: the gzeira shav of kodesh u'maisa sheni only applies in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, it's talking about aval b'chutz la'aretz eino asa el mishum hilulim. And we have those two psukim again, the two sources of how you know you can be poda neter vai. So Kesem Mishnah used the Pesukim for different time periods. One was Bizman HaBayis from Maisa Sheni, and one was Bizman HaZeh. The Netziv makes a different chilek. It's a chilek between places. One's in Eretz Yisrael. We learn Kodesh Kodesh, and that's where you would need a Tzura of the Kesef. And the other pasuk, Kodesh Hilulim, is referring to Chutz Laaretz, where you don't learn from Maisa Sheni, you learn from Kodesh Hilulim, from Netir Vayetzel, in which case you wouldn't require Tzura. And that's his answer. And therefore, in Chutz Laaretz, you only are allowed to eat it. There's no Isser Hana a Neter Vayid Chutz Laaretz. Why? The source of an Isser Hana for Neter Vayid is learned Kodesh Kodesh from Maaseh Sheni. That Kodesh Kodesh is only relevant to Eretz Yisrael, so Eretz Yisrael has an Isser Hana. Chutz Laaretz, there is no connection to Maaseh Sheni. Therefore, you're allowed to get Hana. And for that reason, the Gemara says, if you want to eat it, though, you have to first be Mechala. That's learned from Kodesh Hilulu Mashem. You need to do a Chilul on it. But there's no concept of Isser Hana when it comes to Neter Vai in Chutz Laaretz.
Whether or not it's in the time of the Beis HaMikdash or not?
Exactly. He does not even take that into account. It sounds like even in Bezman HaMikdash, Chutz Laaretz is not learned from Maaseh Sheni. It's therefore not Aser Bana, and you can be poded even without a Tzura. And that's what he says. That's how we answer Rabbi Kiva Eger's question. Rabbi Kiva Eger asks on Tosfos, in Chutz Laaretz, you can be Mechal until Shava Pruta. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, don't you know, you need a Tzura? You need a Tzura. It can't be just Shava Pruta. You need a coin. Says Netziv, no, since Tosfos is referring to Chutz Laaretz, and Chutz Laaretz Neter Vai is not being learned from Maaseh Sheni, it's being learned from Kodesh Hilulim, there is no requirement of a tzur anymore, and that's why it gets out of the question. So in summary, we have just 3 minutes. I'll just summarize. I know these ladies were new concepts, but the basics that we learned here today was we learned a little bit about background of Neter Vai and Maaseh Sheni and the connection between the two of them. And we first start off by saying there's a machlokas, seemingly whether you make a drush of hey and ches, could you switch the two letters together? That sounds like the initial machlokas, but then we end up saying the machlokas is really about whether there's simcha, whether it's hillel, when a person does a mechalel of Neter Vai. That's a machlokas, Rajba versus Rashi. And then we spoke about that there are two sources of hillel when it comes to Maaseh Sheni, rather when it comes to Neter Vai. Either it's learned from Kodesh Kodesh, or it's being learned from Kodesh Hilulim. Those two psukim are very relevant according to Tosos, because either there's going to be a difference when it comes to different times, that the Kesem Mishnah says only Bizman HaMikdash do we learn from Maaseh Sheni, but Bizman HaZeh we don't learn from Maaseh Sheni, we learn from Kodesh Hilulim. But according to the Netziv, the Chilik is in Eretz Yisrael we learn from Maaseh Sheni, and in Chutz Laaretz we don't learn from Maaseh Sheni. Okay, Shkoyach guys.